Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Cozy Cryptid. I'm your host. What's my name again? Are you dying?
I am not dying.
She's dying, everyone. Who are you? Oh, I'm Tanner, by the way.
And I'm his fiance, Amanda.
Hey, I'm getting married, everybody. What's up? Can you believe it? I can't believe it. I'm so lucky.
Well, I'm the lucky one.
Look at me. So, some news going on, little updates, a little about the podcast, what's going on with it. So last week we had Donald Molnar on, talked a lot about near-death experiences and his time when he went fishing with his dad. And he's pretty certain a Sasquatch was throwing rocks at him.
Alrighty then.
Yeah.
And it's an interesting story.
It's very interesting. Everyone should
Take a look at it and listen to it.
Tell your friends about it. I don't really care if you subscribe or not. Really, just tell your friends. If you listen to it every day and have like a bookmark, as long as you listen to it, subscribing just makes it easier for you to find it.
And follow it.
It just makes it easier. It's more for your benefit, really. But
I just want you to enjoy and actually find this interesting and be proactive and become a community with us.
Yes. What she said. And next week we're having Keith Evans on. He's the author of The Hayes House, Ghost of People 2. As you
That's
see.
That's going to be interesting.
Very, I have a lot of stuff.
I was about to say, don't you have a recording tomorrow?
I have a recording. Oh yeah, I do have a recording. Thank you, Amanda.
I try to be a help.
Who's that with again?
I don't remember.
Last in Rec podcast. We're going to be talking about stuff.
We can't remember. You didn't tell me. You just told me we were going to be on another podcast.
Yeah. We're going to be on a stream. Yeah, same difference. She don't understand this, guys. So, what are you up to, Amanda? Also, so we've been seeing some stuff about that for Keith Evans. I'll be promoting his book throughout the week. I should be doing that. So, she's been seeing that through my Instagram and TikTok, which you can find.
And probably Facebook as well.
Yeah, probably. Facebook. I don't know if I can know people on Facebook now.
Stop grumbling.
Can't fucking
speak. Use your words.
I got over 1,000 people on my Facebook page, and I get barely any traffic from me. Nobody's go and comment on my stuff, people.
Become a community. Talk.
But I've been listening to some podcasts.
What kind?
I was like, it's one. There's a lot. It's this theme of like going from like topic to topic to topic. lately.
So just diversifies.
Yeah, diversify, like shareable snippets.
Oh, that's cool. What's the name of it?
Like a lot of different podcasts. But that's what seems to be. That's what I'm saying. There seems to be the main idea these days, a bit more shareable. So just long forms. Well, this is like how we're doing, how we've been doing with Mexico. We've been doing like story to story, just kind of like what I do anyway, I guess. Am I talking? Can you hear me, guys? Hello. Hey, shout out to Amanda for being the best fiance.
He's too much, guys. He really is.
Shout out to Game Tech and G1s, all G1s out there. Okay.
And thank you for all your support. Without you guys, we wouldn't be here.
Yeah, thank you. Actually, yeah. You know what? No. Fuck you guys.
Hey, be nice. Fuck
you. No. See, I want to tell her.
Be nice.
I've been paying out of pocket. I haven't got no sponsors. I got no sponsors for like 8 months now. I'm broke, guys. I'm living out of cardboard box. Help me.
No. I should not have done that.
Okay.
I'm peachy.
But the last sponsor I got was a free, like a charity sponsor thing for the election. Telling people to vote.
Sometimes you don't need sponsors. It's just the people.
I got employees. Damn it.
Okay, we understand that, but it's more about being able to form a community and getting to know other people and actually be expanding your horizon rather than.
Community! Yes, thank you. You you hit the magic word. Community. I've been asking on Twitter. Go on Twitter. That's CozyCryptidPod.com. At Twitter. At CozyCryptidPod. What's that, Amanda, again? What's that on Twitter? What's my Twitter?
Cryptid pod. Podcast.
No pod. Our
pod.
Yeah. You'll see there on the profile, right on top, the pinned tweet. Actually, if you should have a listener. I see it'll be over by the time you see this, so never mind. Forget what I said.
Well, give us any ideas on Twitter of what you think we should try to do to improve or to
send your stories. Send some stories.
Yeah, send us some stories. We'll read them on the podcast. We'll do a Q&A. I'll ask the questions and I'll harass my future husband.
We're having I've been streaming.
Yeah, he's been streaming a lot, guys.
I'm streaming Valhalla. Assassin's Creed Valhalla. I'm kind of annoyed that every Assassin's Creed game has a different combat system.
Oh yeah, you didn't know that?
It's annoying as fuck.
You didn't know that?
Like every single one.
For you. I'm going back to Persona Strikers sometime tonight or tomorrow.
I'll try. You try.
I'm going to.
You'll try.
I'm going to.
I'll distract you.
I'll karate chop you.
You'll try.
Don't make me laugh my tooth.
Okay.
So what are we doing today?
So today we're in Coahuila.
Mexico?
Yeah, the state of Mexico. Coahuila? I can't.
Coahuila?
Coahuila?
Sorry for mispronouncing this stuff wrong. We're trying our best here.
So the first story is very interesting. It's a story about a burglar that likes to clean rooms and not take anything. Would you like to hear about it, everyone?
It's a weird burglar, but I'm kind of intrigued.
An unnamed Mexican man arrived home with his 5-year-old son and discovered that someone had broken into his house. Yet, after a thorough search, the homeowner discovered that absolutely nothing was taken. So how did the man know that an intruder had been in the house during the absence? I'm asking you, Amanda.
How?
So nothing was taken. So was the lock broken? I'm guessing the lock was broken. That
the reverse? Lock, the window, anything.
The door. The door was busted in.
And how did he know that someone came in? If not,
I'll tell you right now. I'll tell you right now. Besides the door, the back door being left ajar, the burglar had cleaned the entire house.
What do you mean by the entire house?
Nothing. This is a quote from the victim.
Oh, okay.
Nothing was taken, broken, or ransacked. Just arranged in a really creepy way, the man told media outlets. He said he could smell bleach and other cleaning materials that the unknown intruder had used in his cleaning spree. His son's room, which is always pretty messy, as befits a young child with more important things on his mind, had been neatly arranged and the bed made.
That's creepy. I would not want people touching my stuff.
The intruder even made a rose out of toilet paper and left it on the bathroom door handle, said the perplexed homeowner.
I kind of want to know how that he did that, making a rose out of toilet paper and hanging it. But then again, that's way too creepy.
No, he didn't hang it. He put it on the door handle.
It's still creepy.
It's really nice, though.
It's nice, but creepy. It's a form of personal violation.
The home was outfitted with an alarm system, but the video component had not been activated for a while. However, a system did log that intruder spent just 90 minutes in the home.
So about an hour and a half.
Yeah, about enough time to clean the whole house.
It takes me 3 hours to clean mine.
It takes you 3 hours?
Well, between me and my mom, yeah. It takes me about 4 by myself.
Yeah. Man posted on his Facebook page, not only did not take anything that I can find, but the purpose of the visit was to clean my bathroom and bedrooms. They made the beds, vacuumed the rugs, scrubbed the toilets, and left TP roses.
Alrighty then.
I don't know, you James Maynard. Facebook. It's a very interesting one. We want to read this one, Amanda.
How do you pronounce the title, first off?
La Locuesta.
What's that?
Well, we're going to read about it.
Okay, the La Locuesta. Is that how you say it?
Yeah, speaking of my class.
I am trying my best. Let's do that then. Yeah. Sightings of a gigantic bird have been happening all over northern Mexico and the Rio Grande Valley of Texas for centuries. The massive bird has been called La Locuesta, Spanish for owl, for its resemblance to an owl. Is this creature real, or is it part of folklore and myth, or perhaps even something else?
Something else. I believe it is definitely an alien.
Who knows? Let's find out more.
I know. I'm the Locuesta.
Oh, Lord have mercy.
I'm the Locuesta, guys. I got a question.
Please ignore him. There are many descriptions and stories about the giant Locuesta, and all seem to focus on its unusual large size. Depending on which tale you hear, the massive bird cage ranged in size from... Stop making me laugh. It hurts.
Sorry.
Okay. Depending on which tale you hear, the massive bird can range in size from that of a small human to 7 feet tall and can have a wingspan in excess of 15 feet. It is sometimes described as black in color and sometimes as white as snow. In most cases, it has been said to resemble an owl, but some have reported it looking more like a huge raven. Some accounts say that the Lucchese's face is that of an old woman or something more otherworldly with large, dark eyes.
Scary.
Dark, that is terrifying. Eyes.
Old woman face and a bird body? That's terrifying.
A little creepy. Sorry for the weird noises. I was talking to the dog. Okay, we need to scroll down. straight.
Almond-shaped eyes. You said you heard that?
I did that. Well, this is a lunch story. Holy shit.
And okay, I'll read till this.
I was going to say stop there, and then I'll go to some.
On the left, out there.
Yeah. Read that whole paragraph.
In all cases, Loquesa flies and is seen at night. It has been reported only in the Mexican states of Chihuahua, Coahuila, Durango, Nuevo León, and Tamaulipas, and on the American side of the Rio Grande River in Texas. There are many different legends surrounding the sightings of this creature. What could a large variety of explanations mean? The fact that there are so many different legends may indicate the sightings that have occurred over a large geographical area over the years among people who were isolated from one another. One town may have made sense of their sightings one way, while another town 1,000 miles away may have made sense in another, without ever communicating with each other about it. That makes sense, doesn't it?
It does.
Did you ever play that telephone game?
Yeah, when you go down the line and there's always a mistranslation at the end from the beginning. You get like one or two words that are right, and then the whole thing else is...
Played it, like, did it in class? Uh-huh. Like, the teacher gives someone that phrase.
Yeah, and it passes down the line.
And you're like, how the fuck? And you're like, how the fuck did you get
that from that? Yeah.
Like, the apple, I ate the right apple. And it goes up like, I beat my wife or something. I don't know.
I beat a fire truck.
I beat a fire truck with a breadstick or something.
Yeah, something weird. Alright. One of the main themes running through these stories regarding the Luchesa is that the creature was once a woman who was wronged and who is seeking vengeance. Some say the Luchesa is a woman by day who turns into a huge owl by night. Some say that the Luchesa snatches kids because her own children hurt. Her own child was killed by angry villagers for a crime he did not commit. Do not do it. In a variety of this, the child was killed by a drunk, and so now the Luchesa exacts revenge by hanging around bars, waiting until closing time to attack bar patrons who stumble out onto the streets after hours, not knowing the danger from the sky about to rain down on them. In some of the legends, La Luchesa is not a shape-shifting person at all, but a witch is familiar, not much like a black cat, and does the bidding of the witch, attacking people and destroying property witch. On her command. Witch. Other stories say witch. The bird is a minion of Satan himself.
Satan. Lord. You know, Satan is kind of like... You read the Bible?
All right, some of it. I have not read the whole.
Remember a story about how God, there was a...
You're trying to make me remember stuff that I... Okay.
There's a guy, he's like, hey, this guy's like, I love God. And God, and Satan was like, hey, you only love God because you give all this cool stuff. Well, he took it away. And God was like, Satan said this to God, and he's like, hey, this guy everyone loves you because you give him all this cool shit. And God was like, watch this. And he like, took all his, he killed his children, killed his livestock.
Yeah, I remember that story. It's a messed up story.
And God was like, and all of his face was like, God, why'd you do this? I said, cool, all my family's dead, and I'm a leper, and crops are dead. And I was like, what the fuck, dude? And God was like, hey, bitch, I'm God. You don't fucking talk to me like that. I'll do all the good things and all the bad things, and I'm God. I can do whatever the fuck I want.
And can't have lighter light without dark.
God's he controls everything. You gotta understand that. So I understand why people are like Satan's the source of evil, when God is like, hey, I'm the most powerful fucker in this motherfucker place, dude. And
yeah, a lot of people have different beliefs. It's weird, but interesting at the same time.
So where'd you stop at?
Not only is the Luchesa.
Not only is Luchesa said to take humans as prey, it also preys upon the negative emotions of humans. acting as a psychic vampire, drawing power from emotions surrounding human conflict and distress. Lokeza has been known to appear outside of houses during domestic quarrels, waiting for one of the people involved to storm out of the house to then be snatched and carried to Lokeza's lair.
Dun dun dun.
Dun dun dun. Lokeza appears to have special fondness for children.
I wonder why.
Especially for those who wander away from home after dark. Adults do not seem to fare as well. The creature will make crying sounds like a baby. Can you make a crying sound, Amanda?
Dog's doing it just fine for you.
Okay. To lure, make like a baby, to lure you out of your house. And it's also been known to make a whistling sound. I can't whistle. Very much like a human whistling. If you answer it back with a whistle of your own, Lokeza will swoop down and carry you away. That's some bullshit. Okay,
so, sorry, Luca. I didn't mean to call you.
If you wake up in the morning and see large scratches on your doors or window sills, it means the Lokeza was there and it's coming for you. So you must prepare yourself accordingly.
This is a long story.
Can a Lokeza be killed? Mm-hmm. How can you protect yourself, people? Do you know?
Anyone know?
Because the creature is magical. According to legend, Lokeza possesses supernatural powers, and care must be taken to kill it or to ward it off. If you shoot at it, it doesn't die. You die instead. Some bullshit.
Yeah, that's a cruel way to go.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah. Hey.
If any part of Lokeza touches you, even a feather from its wingtip, you will die.
Okay, no, that's not good.
So no,
you can't even touch it.
You can't even give it a hug.
No, you can't touch it to kill it.
You can't be like, I'm sorry, people don't understand you, Lokeza. I know you're just trying to keep people together and domestic violence down and children from running away from home and drunk people from stop being drugs, and you're clearly a story made by domestic culture to stop these bad things from happening.
Okay. Let's continue on.
Okay.
If you dream about the creature, it means someone in your family will die. In many stories, the Lokeza has been killed, but when the sun comes up, the body of the bird transforms back into the body of a haggard witch.
Fun fact about witches, you know, witch means wise woman.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I didn't know that. I find witches intriguing. Anyway, there are several things one can do to ward off an attack by the creature. Hanging a rope with 7 knots in its outside... I can't speak. Hanging a rope with 7 knots in it outside your front door or on your porch shows the creature that you acknowledge and respect it, and it may leave you alone. If you see the creature flying at you, an attack can be repelled with a combination of salt and chili powder thrown into the Lokeza's face.
Yes, because I always carry salt and chili powder.
What, you don't carry black salt with you? Anyway.
If salt and chili powder are not handy,
you can always recite
the Magnificat. In Spanish, La Magnifica, a Catholic prayer taken from the Gospel of St. Luke, where the Virgin Mary is praising the power of God. It's also called the Canticle of Mary and celebrates the Visitation, the second joyful mystery of the Holy Sorcery. The prayer must be recited in a normal manner and backwards. Backwards?
How the hell do you do it backwards? You know what? I don't want to know. That take too long. Show off.
I'm scrolling down. Goddamn, calm down.
I was trying. It didn't work. Okay. Some stories of Lokeza encounters have happened well within the 21st century and continue to this day. In one recent story near the town of El Tegle...
Did you forget that?
Huh?
You assaulted the whole town.
Okay, I
El Tegle.
Okay, you can read this then.
Oh, okay. You're doing fine. You're doing a great job. You're doing perfect. You're so...
I cannot pronounce...
Okay. I can't pronounce it. I'm
okay. So, I can't even pronounce that.
Chihuahua.
Yeah, let's go with that. A man was driving on a dirt road outside of town when the creature began swooping down on its truck. It hit the truck's windshield and bounced onto the road in front of the vehicle. The driver gunned the engine, ran over the lechaza, backed up over it, and ran it over again to be satisfied that he killed the creature. Unfortunately, from the rear view mirror of the truck, the man saw the lechaza rise again and instantly had a heart attack and died at the wheel. The account was told by the passenger in the truck who witnessed the attack. In another story, the lechaza was hanging around a small town near Nuevo Laredo. Sorry if I'm killing these names. Sometime in the 1950s, the townsfolk gathered together to come up with a plan to kill it. One person lured it out of the trees using his young child as bait. That is messed up. When the lechaza swooped down to take the child, several men shot at the bird but only hit it in the claw before it flew off. The next morning, members of the town went to the house of a supposed witch, and she answered the door with a crutch and a bandaged leg. Story ends there.
I'm saying it's... No, go on.
I'll talk to this. Thank you. Okay, the story ends there, and we don't know what the final outcome of the story is. Oh my god, Medusa, no, I'm gonna smack you.
In the United States. In the town of Santa Rosa, Texas.
You got an easy name.
Near the borders with Mexico, there was a mass sighting of a lechaza in 1977. The bird was spotted on a tree, and it flew to the front door of a woman, scratching the door as if it wanted to get in. By then, the neighborhood dogs arrived, barking.
I can make a dog bark.
Make a dog bark.
Luca.
Oh. Don't get him barking. I'll never shut up.
That's true. You never shut up.
And the lechaza flew away. The dogs ran after the bird as it flew as they could, as far as they could, but gave up when the lechaza flew too high. Next morning, all the neighborhood dogs were dead.
Good thing you didn't bark, Luca.
Several people saw the massive bird. All were mystified by the nighttime deaths of dogs. Could the legends of lechaza exist because they are describing an actual animal? If so, is there physical evidence of the animal's existence? Among the many reports on the internet about the creature, most of which is written in Spanish, there exists only one photo of a supposed lechaza killed in northern Mexico. The bird appears to be a huge white barn owl with a 15-foot wingspan.
Damn.
Some dismiss this as a hoax or a fake, something cropped and photoshopped. This, however, is the only piece of photographic proof of the creature's existence. No gigantic feathers, bones, or massive nests have been documented thus far.
I'm shocked. You'd think they'd be able to find something with all this story behind it. That's true. That's why it's a myth or a legend.
By the count force of sighting, it seems to be either very low populated species. Okay. On the main American side of the border, there are many native groups who have similar legends of giant birds. It's a collective term, thunderbirds. Okay, thunderbirds are completely different things than the lechaza, okay? Look, listen to my stories on Alaska. Listen to Alaska, and
you'll see the difference.
They're much bigger. Thunderbirds are much bigger. Okay.
Thunderbirds. Just go back to
Thunderbirds are so big that you can't even imagine. You can't even dream about how you dream about them. Is this according to legit Native American people? They're so big that when you dream about them, you only dream about a little section of them. Because they're so big that King can't...
Okay, let's continue.
What the fuck?
These huge
nocturnal birds are in the oral histories of the peoples of the Southwest and the Pacific Northwest. They can be found among the Algonquin, the Ojibwe, and the Winnebago of the northern U.S. and Canada. The Thunderbird has garnered serious interest from the cryptozoologists as sightings of these massive birds have continued into the 21st century. Lokeza might turn out to be not stuff of legend or a mysterious animal yet undiscovered. It could have a more otherworldly origin. Many people connect it with the alien abduction phenomenon. Have reported the sightings of owls before and during their supposed abduction experiences. Many abductees or experiencers claim the owl was used as a screen memory to take the place of the animals themselves so as to cause the humans less trauma in dealing with the abduction experience.
Owls are often associated with the arrival of the greys, the short, menacing, spindly, hairless creatures with big black eyes who carry off humans for experimentation and tests in UFO lore.
Whitley Strieber?
Strieber, the author of the famous book about the alien abduction phenomena,
Communion.
That's a weird name for a book. Anyway, also links owls to the arrival of the greys. Could the Lucioja be used as a manipulate people during an alien abduction? The possibility that the Lucioja is being used by the greys in their nefarious doings has been one theory posed. So is this massive bird a figure of the collective imagination? Is it a genuine cryptic? Is it part of something not of this earth? There has been very little serious investigation into the Lucioja. For the creatures remains mostly the stuff of legend and a way to keep children inside and safe. It's an interesting phenomenon, but it's waiting for some serious examination.
Awesome. What do you think? Okay. We're asking you guys these questions. If you have any answers, please
comment down below.
Or go to cozycryptid.com where you can see a phone down below where you can submit your questions, answers, stories, or is that another phone where you can be a guest? You can submit that.
And also take a look at all the merchandise.
Merchandise. We have t-shirts. We have hoodies. We have stickers. We have
bags.
Bags. We have fanny packs. We have water bottles.
And a little... Oh my god. Grim Reaper is adorable.
What?
It looks like a little Grim Reaper.
Well, it is a Grim Reaper.
I know. That's why I said the little Grim Reaper is adorable.
What's that code they can use to save 24% off their order?
24 or 25?
25% off their...
I have no idea. What is it?
I believe it's cozy.
Cozy sounds like a nice word.
Cozy. Cozy.
So
cozy save 24%. How do I say this? How much they can save off their order of merchandise from the Cozy Crypto.
You would have to type in cozy to save 25% off.
Yeah, off the order on checkout. After tying our order.
So go take a look at the merchandise and tell us if there's something else you would like to see.
I'm thinking about putting another secret code word for 75% off.
You'd lose money. I don't think you want to do that yet.
I know. Not yet. Maybe if someone was cool enough, like, I don't know, Tom Cruise. He shared his Tom Cruise.
Yeah. Come on. Next one.
UFO sighted in Coahuila. Can't say.
Can't even speak.
Coahuila? In Saltillo, the capital of the state of Coahuila. The newspaper Zocalo had its bold headline, its May 1st, 2013 edition, translated into English. UFOs appear in the skies of Piedras Negras and surroundings.
Dun dun dun.
According to the article, the light in the sky first appeared in near the town of Jimenez, just off the Rio Grande, from the city of Piedras Negras, which I'm not saying the N-word. It's N-E-G-R-E-S. It sounds like I'm saying the N-word.
No. We're just bad at pronouncing Spanish names.
At around 9:30 p.m. on Tuesday, April
5th. You just screwed. You didn't say which is situated across the river from Eagle Pass, Texas.
Yeah. What's he said? Because, yeah, look at me. He says Mike is here.
It's sorry, not... my tooth, I'm leaning on my hand.
Okay, sorry.
Go ahead.
Okay. Several triangle-shaped objects flew overhead at rapid speed, heading south along the river. A small municipal airport at Piedras Negras shuts down daily at 7 p.m., and there were no logged airplane flights come in or out of that airport at that time of the sighting. Dozens of eyewitnesses in Piedras Negras saw the triangular crafts fly farther south, and by 10 o'clock, the residents of the town of Guerrero spotted strange aerial vehicles. All who witnessed these bizarre objects in the sky said they were like no aircraft they had ever seen and moved way too fast to be conventional airplanes. The Zoologica article stated that this was not the first time the strange objects had appeared over the Pacific section of the Rio Grande Valley in Coahuila. In 2010, similar objects were seen in the Piedras Negras area. A brief survey of the internet shows possible UFO activity in the area as recently as April 2020.
Damn. One of the earliest UFO incidents in all of Mexico allegedly took place in the area in December of 1950. This was during the UFOologists called the Golden Age of Flying Saucers, as many eyewitnesses reporting sightings of flying metallic discs in the sky over the United States. Some of the notable American sightings during this golden age included the Kenneth Arnold UFO incident near Mount Rainier, Washington in June of 1947, the flying saucer crash at Roswell, New Mexico a few weeks later, and the multiple sightings of USO around Washington, D.C. in July of 1952. A former footnote to these more famous encounters on the United States side of the border during this time is a more obscure event right across the Rio Grande on the Mexico side, just south of Piratenigas, near the small town of Guerrero. I know I'm pronouncing these wrong. To the UFO researcher, this case is known as the crash at El Indigo. No.
Indio.
Indio. Named for a Texas town just across the river from, you can pronounce it,
Guerrero, Quito.
Okay, thank you. The small Mexican UFO incident involves secret U.S. government documents, a possible international cover-up, and a thorough investigation in the early 1990s that sought to debunk the whole story.
The 1950 El Indio saucer crash first came on the radar of American UFO researchers in December of 1984 when a strange package arrived at the doorstep of a Hollywood film producer named Jamie Shandera. The parcel postmarked at Albuquerque, New Mexico. Hey, guess what?
What?
I think I took a wrong turn at Albuquerque. You watch Bugs Bunny?
I haven't watched Bugs Bunny in years.
Oh my god.
But I love Bugs Bunny, but... Hey, I've been watching anime. Leave me alone.
It contained an undeveloped roll of 35mm film. Shandera developed the film and found that it contained 8 pages of government documents. Are classified 2 levels above top secret. The story is famous in the UFO research community, and the papers are now known as the Majestic 12 or MJ-12 documents. These papers were dated November 18th, 1952, and are also known as the Eisenhower Briefing, prepared by the outgoing Truman administration for newly elected American President Dwight Eisenhower. The document describes the creation of the Majestic 12 group, compromised of 6 military and 6 civilian members formed within the Pacific task to oversee and investigate the entirety of the UFO phenomenon. The Eisenhower Briefing mentions many details of the Roswell incident of July 1947, but researchers were surprised to see the document touched upon a previously unheard of but similar event that occurred much farther south from Roswell across the Rio Grande and into Mexico. Here is what MJ-12 documents had to say about the incident in relation to Roswell.
On December 6th, 1950, a second object, probably of similar origin, impacted the Earth at high speed in the El Indobara area of the Texas-Mexico border. After following a long
trajectory.
Thank you. Trajectory through the atmosphere. By the time a search team arrived, what remains of the object had been almost totally incarcerated. Such materials as could be recovered was transported to the ACE, Atomic Energy Commission, faculty at Sandia, New Mexico, for further study. Sandia, New Mexico, referred to Sandia National Laboratories as Kirtland Air Force Base, then located on the southern edge of... I can't pronounce that.
Albuquerque.
That's seriously how you spell Albuquerque?
Yeah.
That is a weird spelling. Anyway, presumably the wreckage was taken there for further study by the military, and the MJ-12 documents most likely came out of the same faculty as Albuquerque postmark on Sharon's package would correlate.
Corroborate. Yeah. Over the years, other pieces allegedly part of the MJ-12 documents have surfaced. In fact, there are now hundreds of pages of supposedly classified materials that have come to light tied to the Majestic 12 project. The FBI and the Air Force, along with many ufologists and debunkers, have declared that these documents to be fakes and the whole MJ-12 project an elaborate hoax. Stanton Friedman, a nuclear physicist who's considered to be the grandfather of serious UFO research, agrees that some documents associated with MJ-12 that have come out over the past 30 years have been fakes and may have been created intentionally to muddy the waters of UFO research. Freeman believed that the Eisenhower briefing of 1952, which mentions the El Diendo UFO crash, was indeed real. In March of 1990, two men sought to prove or disprove what was revealed in this supposed top-secret document. Journalist and editor of the MUFON UFO Journal, Dennis Stacy, teamed up with a man named Tom Dooley. Julie, who was formerly of the National Security Agency, which is the NSA, which is probably, guess what, everybody, they're listening to you right now. NSA is listening to your conversations and tracking your
personal information.
Yeah.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun.
No, I should not do that.
Shout out to, what's his face? It's the guy who looked at all that. Hmm? He's in Russia right now. Was in 1990. The administrative was formerly of the assistant to the Mutual UFO Network, or MUFON, of Sanguin, Texas. Stacy and Dooley would make three trips to investigate the El Indio UFO incident. Before the duo left for Mexico, they tried to get any information they could about the El Diendo crash from sources outside the MJ-12 documents. They ultimately found a few interesting pieces of information that seemed to support what was mentioned in 1952 Eisenhower briefing regarding this Mexican crash. On the very first day of the Indio incident, December 6, 1950, the United States seemed to be dealing with its own spate of UFO sightings. According to declassified documents prepared for the Secretary of Defense found in the National Archives, the USO was on a high alert that was the very same day in December, some 40 unidentified flying objects flying at high speed at 32,000 feet appeared in the skies above the northeastern United States at 10:30 a.m. on December 6. 1950. According to the 6-page memo, there was no reason to believe that the aircraft were friendly.
The Air Force scrambled interpreters, and by 11:04, the situation was diffused before a national emergency was declared. President Truman would later write about the incident in his memoirs published in 1979, that the UFO event had something to do with what happened sometime later the day, just across the border. Denise and Tom Dooley conducted their first on-site investigation in March of 1990, first traveling to the incident's namesake, the town of El Indo, Texas. They first sought out locals who lived there in the area 40 years earlier, by whom may have had first-hand knowledge of the alleged saucer crash. To their surprise, they have met no one in the town who knew anything.
two then cross the border and travel to the little town of Guerrero. It's way closer to this post-crash site founded by Spanish missionaries in 1702, always in the fringes of the Spanish Empire in the New World. Guerrero had always been primarily an agricultural community, supporting a population of several hundred to up to 2,000 people. The American UFO researchers first talked to the former mayor of the town, Enrique Severa, who had been a young man at the time of the El Encino incident. Severo had no recollection of it, but gave to the name of the Rosendo Flores, who served as an official town historian. Flores turned out to be a jackpot of information. Rosendo Flores not only remembered the crash, he was an eyewitness to it. Flores told the researchers that he had been working on his family's land north of town. In the mid-afternoon, he saw, quote, ball of fire fell from the sky, somewhere between his location and the Rio Grande. The lands of an adjoining ranch belonging to the Griego's family, crash caused a brush fire. We're about
done. A few days later, a militant... A few days later, a military... Congate came down from
contingent.
Thank you. I can't speak English today. I never could. Anyway, too damn close to my face. Thank you. Down from Pedras Negras. Okay, and secured the area. Later, Forrest saw a truck hauling something away. When asked if any Americans were involved with the takeaway of the wreckage, Forrest said he couldn't tell. Rumors about the incident swirled around the area, but no one official told the locals anything. Acting on Forrest's information, Stacy and Dooley tried to track down other witnesses, but everyone Forrest told them about was either long since dead or not at home. The researchers returned to the United States to regroup. Stacy and Dooley made another trip down to Guerrero in 1990. On the second trip, the duo went to the Griego's ranch, who tried to find the site of the supposed impact. The crash at the ranch had been sold in the intervening years, and the new owners knew nothing of the incident. He did tell the researchers throughout that on his property it was a huge hole. It supposedly appeared in the late 1940s, or it was so large that a tractor fell into it. The gigantic hole was in the Genoa vicinity of where Rosendo Flores said the fireball had crashed to the earth.
While gathering information on a second trip, the two heard rumors of another UFO crash that supposedly happened 130 miles south of Guerrero at a place called Rio Sabinas in July of 1948. The locals called this the Tomato Man incident because photos supposedly existed of a charred body of an extraterrestrial being amid smoldering flying saucers wreckage. It later turned out that the photos were of human accident victims who had died tragically in a roadside car crash. In 1994, Stacy and Dooley returned to the Griego's ranch outside of Guerrero with two other investigators to put the El Indio crash story to rest once and for all. With the help of locals, they rediscovered a gigantic hole they visited in 1990. Stacy and Dooley brought metal detectors with them this time in hopes of finding pieces of debris. But they found nothing, not even old nails or bottle caps. Researchers later concluded that what they had visited was a natural sinkhole and nothing more. After interviewing a total of 40 people about the El Indio crash, the researchers concluded that there was not enough evidence to determine that the event actually happened. There is one more curious reference to this particular UFO incident. There were other witnesses to crash on the American side of Stacy and Dooley missed in their thorough investigations of the event. in 2011 book Searching for UFOs by Dylan H. Richards and Janet I. Sterling, the author writes, in December 1950, a woman visiting a dude ranch in Texas wrote to her husband about a most unusual incident. She and other guests and ranch workers had observed what seemed to be an airplane in distress flying overhead. They thought it might have come down over the Mexican-American border. The next day, several of the ranch cowboys rode out to see if they could find something. They found wreckage, but it didn't look like any other plane they ever seen. There were bodies strewn about, badly burned. Cowboys said it looked as though the craft had been piloted by children. So what really happened on December 6, 1950, outside a small Mexican font town right across the border? Perhaps there's more to discover in secret USO government files or in storage facilities of government labs. Ultimately, we may never know the full truth about this little-known El Nino UFO incident. Hello, everybody. Thank you for listening to this episode of Cozy Cryptid. I'm your host, Tanner.
And it's been Amanda. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode and to turn into next week's episode.
Thank you for my writer, researcher, and for my social media person, Maduri. And thank you for Matt for the music here. Shout out to GM Game Days. They do video game reviews and they have video game movie reviews, I'm sorry. And they do, they're doing like a video game book club. Right now they're doing Wild Rift. Catch them on twitch.tv/G1_GameDays. They everything they all money they get from that they put towards a charity for a children's hospital. So help them out. And then we can end this, spread the word, and that really helps a lot too. Next week, like I said, we're gonna have Keith Evans on. So look forward to that. If you have any questions or you want to be on the show yourself, just go to cozycryptid.com. There we have social media feed, and you can have buy some merchandise. So,
a lot of them are adorable.
Adorable, yeah. Probably getting some more stuff here soon, hopefully before here by June, but thank you, really. Stay cozy, everyone.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.